Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this weekend show, we're going to be focusing again on commodities, a lot on precious metals, as, boy, oh boy, we are seeing some very nice moves and acceleration to the upside, some key breakouts, and also seeing a number of the underlying equities, many of which were struggling over the last 4 years, start to show some life, with the big question being just how much longer can these rallies go and how much more upside could the equities have? We're kicking off this weekend show with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at Money Show. Now, Mike, you're very much a generalist, commentator, and investor. But as I said, I want to stick to the commodity sector here because those are the most exciting moves that we're seeing as we ended Q1 and moved into Q2, starting with precious metals. As we're recording this later in the day on Wednesday, gold is over $2,300. Silver is over $27. Can you break down exactly what we're seeing move-wise in terms of precious metals and how much longer you think this run could last for?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, we've been talking for months on end, it seems, that all the conditions are kind of in place for things like precious metals to really get going to the upside. I mean, we've talked in past episodes about the dollar going from sort of soaring to slumping to stabilizing, and that takes that governor off of a lot of commodities, precious metals included. We've talked about how, you know, there's been a lot of foreign buying, particularly out of Asia, in the gold precious metals market. We've seen, you know, the fact that these types of assets and sectors, when it comes to miners, for example, have been kind of left for dead and are very small, you know, relative to these other extremely popular sectors that everybody owns, tech and so on. And we've talked about how people are going to kind of be looking for new leaders in a market where we go from worrying about recession to saying, hey, you know, this economy is, you know, not just in the U.S., but in overseas markets, may start to reaccelerate a little bit. So what you've seen is all of those factors that were kind of percolating in the background really start to come to the forefront of investors' minds. And that's what I think you're seeing here. I mean, you know, we already saw with gold breaking out several weeks ago. We're starting to see silver follow through. As you mentioned, copper is starting to move here. Oil, you know, in the U.S. has topped $85 a barrel. In global markets, when it comes to Brent crude, it's sort of, you know, hitting away at that $90 level. So it's a lot of ingredients that, again, or I should say it's a lot of things where the ingredients were there. It just kind of took a catalyst for everybody to have that aha moment and say, geez, I don't want to, you know, tech was the big thing. Mag 7 was the big thing. I've made a ton of money in the old big thing, and now where can I find the next big thing? I think that's kind of like the thinking that's going on Wall Street. And the rotation you're seeing into you know, big money looking for the next big winners. You know, if you listen to what you heard on this show, and kudos to you guys for that, you know, some of what your guests have been saying, what we've been trying to lay out a case for, patience is being rewarded. You know, Guido finally arrived in this version of the book, so I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, Mike, it is nice that we've been waiting on Guido, and he finally showed up to the party here. As you pointed out, with not just gold and silver breaking out, but copper breaking higher and oil breaking higher, look at the copper stocks, the producers. Look at the oil producers breaking out. You mentioned off, Mike, that this is all kind of turning into a reflationary trade, maybe on optimism that the economy is not falling apart, as so many thought was going to happen. Could you break down a little bit more about the reflationary trade and some of the macro forces you think are at work here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, you've had this environment, again, where everybody's kind of, what's the Fed going to do? Will they? Won't they? When are the cuts coming? And so on and so forth. But what you started to quietly see is some of the foreign economic data, ironically enough, out of China, which seems to have been left for dead for ages, has been picking up a little bit. You've seen in the U.S. clearly the mentality be that, hey, the U.S. is going to dodge a recession. It's having a soft landing, or even many people are kind of coming around to that. Do you even call it a soft landing? Maybe it's no landing at all. Things like the jobs data we've gotten has kind of underscored that. So, you know, if the Fed can get money to a reasonable level, get risk-free rates up to a reasonable level that, you know, is normal by historical standards, but not extremely tight, and then you've got kind of, you know, some of these growth drivers in the U.S. economy kicking in, as well as just foreign economies like in China not getting worse and maybe improving a little bit. That's, you know, that's all you need. And what's really interesting, I mean, we're only a few days into the second quarter, so you don't want to make too much of it. But in addition to gold and silver, or excuse me, in addition to gold continuing to run, silver starting to follow, copper turning up, oil performing very well. You've got the yield curve that's been steepening a little bit. And when you look at equities, you look at the sectors that are performing, you know, tech has sort of, it's not crashing or falling apart or anything, but it's basically stopped going up and it's been consolidating. Meanwhile, you've seen things like financials, like energy, like industrials, like materials all pick up, especially in the last 30 days. I mean, you look at the performance, you know, just to throw a few numbers at you, the XLK is the tech ETF. It's down about a percentage point in the last 30 days, but the materials ETF, XLB, is up 6%. Financials are up 4%. Energy's up more than 12%. Industrials 3.5%. What does that tell you? Those are all the kinds of sectors that do well in the early stages of an economic acceleration or reacceleration and growth phase. So I think it all sort of throw it all into a pot, and it's telling you the market's more optimistic about growth, economic growth, I should say, cyclicals and things like that. So money is rotating out of this, you know, the formerly market darling tech Mag 7 type names and looking for the next phase's winners. It's broadening out. And frankly, from a big picture standpoint, that's bullish. You can't just have seven stocks, you know, leading the market forever. You need to see, you know, the broader economy start to benefit, other sectors start to benefit, and that's exactly what we're seeing here. So, you know, all systems go as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's something you've been pointing out for the last over a year now, was more sectors starting to partake, or just a general more bullish outlook for the markets after 2022 that was a tough year. But balance this out for the gold argument here, where inflation, yes, gold is usually an inflation hedge, although that has been mixed in history. But gold versus economic growth, I thought if the economy was growing at a fast pace, that people would leave gold behind simply because they would have other opportunities. Or is it, as you said, this rotation trade because, well, some of these gold stocks have really lagged a lot of other sectors?
It's partial rotation. It's, you know, money going into things that haven't yet moved from things that have moved a lot. Part of it is that the dollar, despite the fact the U.S. economy, you know, looks decent, if you have foreign growth too, you know, you're not going to see money pouring into the dollar because there's no good options elsewhere. You're going to see some of it stay in foreign domiciles. So that's why the dollar, you know, after that big run-up in 2022 and then the you know, retracing, I don't know what it was, 30-40% of that move or so in 23, it's basically been sideways since. That's okay. That means that you don't have that governor in the face of gold. And if you've got other things like a Fed that is not going to be hiking rates, maybe they're not going to cut all the way back, you know, 5, 6, 7, 25 basis point cuts. But maybe if they just say, hey, we've reached a pretty comfortable level, maybe we'll throw one or two cuts your way and then sit on it. You know, whatever the scenario is, it's not never-ending tightening, never-ending hiking, and that driving a never-ending dollar rally. So it's really just the removal of that governor. I mean, when you've got all those factors that have been sitting there, and you just, you know, it's like you take that away. You take that, you know, whatever metaphor you kind of want to use, that's what you're seeing now. So, you know, if the economy were really going gangbusters to the upside, to the fact that the Fed had say, you know, oh, no, now I've got to start hiking again aggressively, that's not going to be good for gold, but we don't have that.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. It's such a different world out there, and I think we're all still remembering the rate hiking cycle and how fast it happened and how long it happened. Everybody was waiting for that market crash, that major recession. Still, a number of the gloom and doomers are still waiting for that. It hasn't come yet, and we do need to understand it's a different environment for central bank policy and for the markets. Again, look at the charts and see the continued strength and rotation we have seen. Mike, we're having you back on next segment. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back, continuing on with the weekend edition of the KE Report.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at Money Show. Mike, let's talk a little bit about the money shows, because, look, it's a generalist nature, those shows. It sounds like, from what you've told us, being on the floor and setting up all of these speakers, is that these speakers do follow these trends. When something is running, there is more commentary on it. We need to understand that the metals, commodities broadly, have turned just recently. So, what, A, have you heard recently at some of the money shows? And then, two, what are you expecting at some of these money shows coming up? Will there be more interest, more coverage given to metals and precious metals?
I would say starting to get interested, but nowhere near where it's concerning. I mean, the most powerful moves in any bull market, you know, whether you're talking about gold, stocks, you name it, is when you start to have the, you know, not just the early adopters that are kind of putting money in a segment, but you're starting to get more mainstream recognition. And then obviously once everybody's on board, that's when you kind of, you know, the early people want to get back out, and that's when you have to worry about too much enthusiasm. I'd say we're turning that corner a little bit. We're getting some more interest in it. We're, you know, we're trying, we have a couple more speakers that have been right about it, that, you know, we're certainly looking at getting involved with events and talking about it. But it, I mean, you look at ETF flows into things like the, you know, metals ETFs. They've been lackluster even as money's been flying into the crypto ETFs and things like that. When you look at sort of mainstream coverage, it's starting to talk about it. I mean, I have seen gold start to show up in the Wall Street Journal and so on, but is it a case where everybody's like, holy cow, I want to get all my money into this? No, you're not. So I think that's another, even from a sentiment standpoint, that's another reason why I'm so excited about where we are in this phase, because you're starting to convert people. You're starting to hear more people get interested. You're starting to see people say, hey, okay, I've been holding this for a long time. It hasn't done much. It's starting to make me some money. But it's nowhere near that sort of manic phase like what you saw a couple years ago when all those SPAC and other, you know, garbage tech stocks, what you've seen when you've had, you know, crypto boom a few years back and that, you know, sort of brought in all these fraudsters. So I think this is, again, even from a sentiment standpoint, this is a great point in that cycle, that phase, where you can really start to see, you know, coming out of that long consolidation, some pretty healthy acceleration, you know, driven by money flow and all the other things we've talked about.
Since you brought up cryptos there, then, Mike, how do you balance out this renewed bullishness in commodities broadly, the trade into commodities, and crypto that has also been bullish?
You know, I kind of try and look at, I think some of the same underlying factors have been driving crypto and will be driving crypto and gold. And when I say crypto, I mean, I think speaking about Bitcoin and some of the larger types of cryptos in there and that are more asset class oriented as opposed to the super speculative junk. I think a lot of the same, some of the same trends are driving it, but I always look at it as the tortoise and the hare, right? I think that they both win the sort of performance race. It's just that, you know, Bitcoin and crypto is kind of like the hare, and gold is more like the tortoise. It's a slower moving market, but it's tending to benefit from the same underlying trends. So it just sort of depends on your risk tolerance and how much excitement and drawdowns and things like that you can handle. I mean, you'll probably make a lot more money in a bull market in something like Bitcoin or some of the riskier cryptos, but you're also going to have much more roller coaster type activity than you're going to have in something like gold. And I think both are kind of now in bull market territory and likely to remain that way for some time.
Well, Mike, it sure is nice to have a discussion in bull market territory for the commodities, for the precious metals, for cryptos, really for almost all markets. Is there anything that could throw a wet blanket on this, just looking at the other side of the coin, looking at the bearish thesis, anything that you see on the macro front that could interrupt this pattern?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, if I'm ultimately wrong and some of the people that I trust a lot, whose work I follow, are ultimately wrong about the Fed, and the Fed really has to, you know, get back into hiking mode, this turns out to be, oh, geez, not, we didn't hike enough, now we're going to have to play catch up to a new broad inflationary phase, or, you know, we're going to have something like that that leads to a renewed surge in the dollar. That kind of, you know, that is really, I think, the biggest spanner out there that can be thrown in the works. But, you know, I've been following the Fed for a quarter century. century, a lot of the smart people that I follow, you know, who do speak at money show events, whose work I digest and the newsletters and things like that, you know, really kind of have really been right about this market. It's not just that they have great track records long term, it's that they've really had their finger on the pulse of this environment for the last couple of years, you know, are sort of on the same page. So I like to be in good company, and I think that in that environment, that's really the only risk, but it's, in my opinion, not a likely risk. I think this is firmly, I mean, and even let's back up and came from a technical standpoint. You're talking about a market, whether you're talking about gold or silver, that's consolidated for what, a couple of years now in a broad trading range in the face of a lot of bad news like a surging dollar and so on, and yet it held there. And you have a market where the mining stocks are just now starting to convert, to sort of confirm that, as opposed to running and running forever and then starting to top out. I mean, from a technical standpoint, all that sort of speaks to this being an early phase of a pretty powerful bull move. So I don't want to sound Pollyanna-ish, but I think there's sometimes when you really have to say, hey, look, there's, you know, technicals, fundamentals, currencies, cross market, sentiment, all of these factors have come together. And to me, that's a pretty powerful bull market signal.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes you just, well, a lot of the time, I think you do just need to ignore all the noise and look at the charts and see what they're telling you. And right now, boy, oh boy, it's all starting to move higher. You did mention some of the international considerations that you had, even with China starting to pick up a little bit. And as much as we look at just what the Fed is doing, what's important for investors to look at globally here when it comes to either central banks, economic data, or any other sort of market moves?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we have to be cognizant of geopolitics. I mean, you know, and I hate to use such a sort of blasé term to talk about some real scary things and unfortunate things that are happening in the world, whether it's in, you know, still in Russia and Ukraine, or whether it's sort of saber rattling between China and Taiwan and other parts of Southeast Asia or the Middle East, of course. You know, those are all issues that you do have to keep your eye on. You do have to understand that curveballs can be thrown at you from, you know, almost any time from those types of things that are unforeseeable, or at least, you know, I mean, how do you prepare for it? You kind of keep some safety there. And ironically enough, is that not also tending to be a supportive, if not, you know, outright bullish for things like precious metals? I mean, they tend to do well in periods of instability, and obviously some instability is what we're dealing with. So, you know, even there, and even from the geopolitical sort of background worry thing, that tends to be supportive for precious metals as a hedge. So, you know, that's more what's happening with that is more of a concern for things like broader stock market exposure and whether or not the stock market can hold its gains, in my opinion. And I think, you know, one thing about the markets, broadly speaking, as this rotation happens, I wouldn't be surprised if the overall market tends to stagnate a little bit and just catch its breath. I mean, you know, the S&P had its best first quarter since 2019. You know, you've had a good run, and I think just some of the early jitters we're seeing in the second quarter early on is just part of that sort of rotation, you know, period and consolidation. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the broad averages take a breather here. But within them, I mean, again, you know, if you're in the right stocks, you're in the right sectors, you're in kind of the next big thing, or things for that matter, I think you're going to be pretty happy as an investor. And that's, you know, that's what we're seeing.
All right, Mike, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you very much for your insights. Man, oh man, it's been a week full of a bullish outlook for commodities. And that's from some of our generalist guests as well. Rightfully so. Look at the price moves and look at the follow through that we are seeing finally in some of the underlying stocks, even the smaller ones. Mike, thank you very much for taking time on this weekend show. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back continuing to discuss some of these moves in the commodities sector.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-9090. 2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
USA News Update.
Aftershocks still being felt after a rare 4.8 magnitude earthquake hitting the northeast of the epicenter, Lebanon, New Jersey, 50 miles from New York City. It's been 139 years since New York City felt anything like this, and it's been 240 years since a quake this strong hit New Jersey. The last time was in the year 1783. For a period of time, there were ground stops Friday at the New York area airports, Newark, New Jersey, LaGuardia, and JFK, as runways were checked for cracks. More than 600 flights were delayed and more than 30 were canceled. President Biden making a trip to Baltimore on Friday to tour the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Most importantly, the people of Maryland. I'm here to say your nation has your back, and I mean it. Your nation has your back.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And as promised, we are going to continue to focus on commodities and the strength we have seen in a wide range of commodities, mostly in the oil, copper, and gold sectors. But in these last two segments, I also wanted to factor in currencies to this because we are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also editor of the Mark to Market website. Now, Mark, it's an interesting environment here where the U.S. dollar this year so far in just over a quarter has been quite strong. The dollar entered the year right around, let's just say, 102 on the dollar index, currently up to about 104 and has been kind of steadily rising, but we're also seeing commodities rise. Copper being one, gold being another, oil also coming up. Maybe this all means that the economy is just that strong that people are encouraged to put money to play in commodities, but usually currencies, that if the dollar is dropping, that can help commodities. So how are you balancing out this environment here, Mark, where it's currencies and commodities moving higher?
Yeah, quite remarkable, huh? I mean, just thinking about how strong the dollar has been and how strong several of these commodities, like you mentioned, have been with new record highs in gold, for example. We've seen some of the other softs rally. But I think that, yeah, it's always like the refuge, right? If you can't, like, have a general explanation, then we have to, like, drill down. And that's what I suspect's happening. The commodities like copper, gold, and oil have their own idiosyncratic drivers. And we can talk about those. And I think the dollar is a somewhat different driver. But what they have in common, I think, is that the U.S. economy, I think that the evidence is beginning to accumulate, that rather than all this recession talk we've heard, that the U.S. economy looks like it's reaccelerating. And that speaks to demand. But that's not why I think that oil is up. It's not really on U.S. demand. I think that we've seen in oil, for example, Mexico this week announced that it was going to cut back on its oil sales, which are, I want to say, about 600,000 barrels a day. And that sour crude that the U.S. refiners, of course, are built for. And they're cutting back on their export sales because they want to boost domestic gasoline sales, ostensibly ahead of the June elections. Copper is a different story. And there, of course, it's not the dollar that's the driver there. But I think, again, it comes to a lot of these industrial metals. You really have to look at China. And it looks like Chinese copper plants are working towards a cutback in production. And I think that's part of the story of trying to rationalize Chinese production. And when it comes to gold, I think the gold story, of course, everybody talks about the central banks buying, but I think that we've seen a lot of Chinese retail buying, Indian buying. And I think that countries in which they have questionable central banks, capital controls, and sort of concerns about their currency. You know, China's been on holiday for the last 2 days, and so Monday's fixing by the PBOC is going to be important. But I think that, you know, if you're in China, it's not clear about stocks. Some of the big names like Alibaba are still selling off. You have these capital controls, and you got the currency weakening. And so what can you do with your money? You can't invest really in property, questionable about stocks. And so gold gives you an alternative within the capital control system that they have to diversify and to have a place to basically preserve capital.
Yeah, Mark, I think you're right. I think that obviously central banks have been buying gold, but there has been a lot of things on social media talking about the youth in China buying gold beans and that people are buying gold in India and that actually with gold prices moving so high, a lot of people in India have shifted to buying silver. We've also seen silver break out of its trading range this week, pop above its resistance at 26, 26.50. Now it's up in the mid-27s. So I think some of that gold buying in the East is also spilling over into silver. But when you look at copper and oil going higher, those affect the economy. When you look at Dr. Copper, it's the strength of manufacturing, electricity, the wiring. That goes into the whole global economy, and it's moving up the good doctor. And then oil is a input on almost everything. So how do you think those play into the inflation picture? Because we're going to be getting inflation readings next week, but the longer-term inflation picture, how will these higher commodities factor into that?
Yeah, I think that's a good question because, you know, we're all familiar with higher oil prices, higher gasoline prices, and efforts to efforts to dampen inflation. Traditionally, the Federal Reserve sees higher oil prices, though, as deflationary in the sense that, yes, energy prices go up, but the more energy prices go up, the less money the household has to have discretionary spending because they have to spend more of it on energy. Or that's sort of the general idea that inflation is about the general price level. When we talk about higher oil prices or even higher copper prices, we're really talking about specific price levels rather than the general price level. So I do think it's going to be worrisome. And I think, you know, we've had a very strong U.S. jobs report. And next week we should be looking at a CPI in which the headline might even go up a little bit and the core rate slip tiny. But if the Federal Reserve is looking for greater confidence that U.S. inflation is headed towards its 2% target, the confidence probably is not going to be raised, that it's not going to be improved by the strength of the jobs data and the firmness of the CPI next week. Higher oil prices, higher commodity prices, especially if those higher oil prices are linked to potential supply disruptions as the war in the Middle East looks like it might be expanding. And so I think that all that just makes it more difficult on maintaining sort of this price stability type of goal and progress to boost the Fed's confidence. But I think the market, you know, we've had a lot of Fed comments this week, and I think on balance, the market is saying there's still, a little bit better than a 50% chance of a Fed cut in June. And if they don't cut in June, the market's got it narrowly priced in for July. I don't see that being shaken yet after today's U.S. jobs report.
Now, Mark, these rate cut expectations have actually come down a fair bit from where the market or what the market was expecting last year and then even into this year. But it hasn't seemed to impact the markets or really any market significantly outside of the bond market, which has sold off and rates are higher. Does it really matter? Should we be paying attention to what these rate cut odds are? Or does it matter more what the economic data is or simply what the charts are telling us, where it seems like strength in a number of markets is still here?
Yeah, so I think it matters like where you sit. I think that there's no, I mean, I think one has to, in trading, one has to respect the price action. And I think what that means ultimately is that what really, it seems to me, just my experience would be something like this, that people who make money in the market don't make money because they're right more often. They make money because they're more prudent, disciplined risk managers. Everybody knows what to do with the winner. It's what do you do with the losers? And so I think that's the problem right now, but I think that we get these conflicting signals. So I think it is important to recognize that, yes, the U.S. economy still looks fairly resilient. The talk about recession seems to be misplaced. But typically, the U.S. economy doesn't have a recession in the fourth year of a presidential term. As an election year, we typically don't have a recession. Typically, stocks go up. And so what this means, though, that historical sort of record or that pattern is more likely the recession comes in the first year of the next president's term. I want to say that out of 11 Republican presidents, we've had a recession the first year of 10 of them. And so I think what this means, then, is if you're trying to manage a business or trying to, like, think about mortgages, that the risk is that we don't get the rate cuts until later this year rather than, say, June or July. But that rate cuts will be coming, and the idea that, yes, the trend, and this is, I think, Powell's point, that the trend on inflation is lower, even though he calls it a bumpy path. And so I think we got to, like, look through that, the bumpiness, and focus on the big signals. And it's hard to imagine how the U.S. economy can maintain, say, robust growth when Europe is stagnant, Canada looks stagnant, China has its own difficulties, and can the U.S. be prosperous when the rest of the world isn't? And I'm not so sure that's the case.
Well, guys, our time is up for this segment on the radio, but we're having Mark back on next segment. Going to dive a bit more into the bond market, what outcomes we could be seeing with rates. So everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem?
Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Continuing to chat with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Mark, let's talk about China. We have seen maybe slightly better data out of China, and China can be such a driver behind commodities broadly. And I think, quite frankly, China, if they're strong, can play into the strength of a lot of other countries as well. What are some of your considerations when we look outside of the U.S. borders to China and how important they are in the global picture?
Yeah, it's funny that, today and yesterday, I believe, U.S. Treasury Secretary Yellen is in China, and she's, I think, lecturing them about their overcapacity in many industries. And the key ones these days are the EV, the batteries, solar panels, steel. And I think that China is just so big. And what it does, just by its sheer size, impacts these world capital markets. I think that the risk is that China is, even though we kind of consider China as some kind of like communist or socialist country, I see it more as a state capitalist country, where the state acts as a capitalist. You have wage earners, you have profits, you have all the markings of a capitalist society. Except you don't have as much of a role for the free market or private sector. So China's got this overcapacity, and I think that the big problem down the road is how do we in the West, U.S., Europe, Japan, how do we make room for at the economic table for China while China's being modernization is so disruptive. So when I think about the world economy, of course, China is very important. I think many of the critics of China say it needs to boost consumption. When I look at the numbers, I see China's consumption per capita has doubled in the last decade. Imagine that. Imagine if our consumption in the United States, Canada, or Europe were to double in a decade. It's just huge. The problem, though, is China still has huge investments. As they try to, like, take the, what Lenin called the commanding heights, trying to dominate what it imagines to be the growing sectors of the new economy. And so this poses a challenge, and I think that this is sort of where we are. I think that China is adamant about doing this, and the U.S. trying to slow it down, denying it, say, semiconductors, advanced semiconductors, and encouraging companies not to service the older sort of legacy technology either in China. I think it's a precarious situation, and I'm afraid if we don't do it peacefully, there'll be conflict. And I already see, like, next week, the Japanese Prime Minister Kishida and the Philippines President Marcos are coming to the United States. And I imagine that out of that meeting with Biden, there'll be an announcement about some new defense initiative, whether it's a new security agreement between Japan, Philippines, and the U.S., or whether it's Japan joining the Australian, U.K., U.S. submarine deal. But I think that we're building up, gearing up for a threat of greater confrontation. And I know a lot of realists who listen to your show, they think that the way to avoid war, the way to ensure peace is to prepare for war. And I think that's sort of the movement that I see happening.
Mark, let's talk about the U.S. bond market then, because out of anything, that's what has been selling off. And we all know how big the bond market is. Maybe that's where all this excess capital is coming from that's pushing all sorts of different sectors higher. But you look at something like the 10-year, it's closing in on 4.4%. The 2-year, also much higher. Their uptrends are undeniable right now. So how much higher could rates go, market rates, that is, in the U.S. in your eyes in the near term?
Yeah, I think that's what we need to focus on, is that the strong, relatively strong U.S. jobs report. We've got the U.S. 10-year yield up about 5 basis points today, the 2-year up about 6 basis points, almost 7. I mean, it's just crazy to think along these terms. Maybe the 2-year is headed towards 5%. And that would be, you know, earlier this week we had one of the Fed presidents, Kashkari, talk about the possibility that maybe if inflation stays sticky, the Fed doesn't cut at all this year. And if you think about Fed funds rate 5.25 to 5.5, and a 5%, even right now, a 4.70 2-year seems rich if you thought the Fed was going to be cutting interest rates. But we have supply, and we still have what looks like sticky inflation. And, you know, we've talked about this in past shows, but, you know, the debate had previously been soft landing or recession. And I think now the debate has shifted towards reacceleration versus a soft landing. And so the whole like framework of the discussion and debates seem to be shifting towards extending this U.S. exceptionalism a bit longer.
So do these higher rates end up impacting either the markets, the economy, any certain sectors within the markets? There has to be, again, some correlation, although you just threw the whole correlation thing under the bus there a little bit ago, but higher rates do need to impact something, don't they?
Yes, and so what are they impacting? One, I think, impacts the dollar. Secondly, I say that the impact might be, you know, it's sort of the classic image. I think it was Milton Friedman talked about some guys in the shower, and you're trying to get the water on a hotter temperature, and you turn the knob, and you don't get hot water right away. And so as the hot water is heating, you keep putting it hotter and hotter, and then when it does kick in, it really kicks in a big way. I think that's the danger, is that because policy takes place with lags, that interest rates are working. They just work with a lag time. So, of course, the higher price of money impacts credit extension. And I think that's why I still won't give up. Maybe it sounds kind of silly to say this, but I won't give up an idea that higher interest rates are going to slow the economy, but maybe not immediately. Maybe the opening up of some supply chains, maybe the strength of the productivity gains in the U.S., maybe the higher in real terms, that is the inflation adjusted terms, real wages are rising. And so maybe these factors are offsetting or blunting the impact of higher interest rates.
Yeah, very well could be. I find it so interesting, right? We can all focus so much on interest rates, but we do need to remember what happened during the pandemic and the move away from globalization, which I think has definitely pushed inflation higher and was a huge constraint on a lot of businesses, but that has, it seems like, started to open up again. So, Mark, big picture, what do we need to look out for? More for investors. What could impact markets? What could change this overall bullish outlook for everything? And do you see anything right now still taking the lead, outperforming the broad averages?
Well, I mean, one thing I see happening is that when the Federal Reserve meets next at the end of April, the meeting concludes on May 1st. And if the data we get between now and then, really it's going to be the CPI, the key one, CPI, PPI, personal income, personal consumption, that kind of thing, that imagine that at the March meeting, there were 10 Fed out of 19, 10 Fed officials thought it'd be still appropriate to cut rates three times or more. Nine thought two times or less. So it's a very close balance. All it takes is one person to change their mind. And we won't get that confirmed until the meeting in June. But Powell could say something to indicate that there's been an adjustment. One way he could say that is like he is really repeat what he said before, and that is in between the meetings in which they give us this summary of economic projections, these quarterly meetings, that they can get old, that you have a snapshot in March, and that snapshot still might not be valid anymore when we get to end of April, early May, let alone June. And so I think the first thing is that the Fed call was very close in March, and that could shift. Secondly, an external shock, like we saw earlier this week between Israel indicating that it might confront more directly Iran, who is thought to be behind some of its the proxies, whether it's the hitting of the Red Sea or the Hezbollah or Hamas. And so if we see the war like broaden out, like at the fair yesterday, maybe that's one of the things helping gold, helping oil. And that could also be a game changer in a world, a bigger, more direct conflict. But I think that there's very little sign, it seems to me, that Europe is going to strengthen like markedly anytime soon. Same thing for Japan. And I think we've had a lot of what we happened last year in China. They pump it up in the first quarter, and that becomes the peak for the year. And so I think it's a precarious time. We're sort of on the edge, and I think we just have to make it through these next few weeks, get the data, and see what the Fed says later this month.
All right, Mark, thank you, as always, for your time. We're going to wrap up the weekend show here. Pleasure having you on, Mark, and I hope all of you listening found these conversations interesting, where we were talking to a couple more generalists, more about what's happening in the commodity space, why the commodities are running, what this environment is for markets, where it seems like rotation of money pushing everything higher at their own times, and commodities have had their day right now for the last really month and about a week. Everyone, be sure to check out our website, kereport.com, and our podcast and YouTube channel, The KE Report, to keep up to date on all our daily editorials and company updates. Mark, thank you again for your time. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.